Chatham County Roundup is presented by Weaver Street Realty, specializing in local real estate since 1982. Every story is set somewhere. Theirs is right here. Find them online at weaverstreetrealty.com. Today we're joined on the phone by Chapel Fowler, sports reporter for the Chatham News and Record. ChathamNewsRecord.com is the website for local news from Chatham County 24/7. Talking sports today with high school sports finally getting back underway after a long delay. And a bunch of other things to talk about as well. Chapel, thank you so much for being with us today. How are you?
Hey, Aaron, doing well. Thanks for having me. Congrats to you and Brighton, as well as the rest of the team on the shakeups and promotions at WCHL.
Well, thank you so much. So tell us about high school sports. I know it's kind of weird to be getting underway with this in November, but we're finally getting to it, and cross country and volleyball specifically, the first sports in the vanguard getting underway, and you've been covering it in Chatham County. How's it been going?
Yeah, it was crazy to, you know, when I'm in mid-November, I'm writing about the season's about to start, to have to type that it had been 8 months since stuff had happened is really just unbelievable. I mean, I'm no High School Athletic Association historian, but I'd have to think that has to be the longest dead period ever. So yeah, cross country and volleyball have been going on here in Chatham County as well as everywhere else throughout the state for mostly public schools and charter schools. Independent schools finished their season about a few weeks ago. But it's been interesting. The main thing, you may have seen this, so there is a mask mandate for everything indoor right now.
Yep.
And so that most specifically applies to volleyball. So that means every single player on the court, every coach, every parent, every PA announcer, every media member, everyone has to wear a mask all the time. And that's a interesting change. And I'm actually calling you from the parking lot of Chatham Central High School in beautiful Bear Creek, where I'm about to cover a volleyball match and see kind of how that mask wearing works for the first time. Definitely an interesting change. Cross country runners, they do not have to wear masks because that's an outdoor sport. But I was at a meet yesterday at Northwood High School, and what they did is they had everyone wear masks at the startup point because there are a lot of people kind of bunched together, and they wore those. And then once they kind of tapered out into everyone was kind of in their own space just naturally as a group run would go, then they took them off. But yeah, it's definitely a new normal to say the least in both of those sports.
So especially with the volleyball players and the coaches, have you had a chance to talk with many players and or coaches about how this is affecting them or not affecting them?
Yeah, I think kind of the general sentiment from everyone is, you know, I'm sitting here waiting. I want sports to come back so I can cover them. I can only imagine what it's like for the coaches and athletes that, you know, live and breathe this stuff. So kind of the general sentiment from them has just been like, whatever we have to do to play, like, we'll do it. Like, maybe it's a little bit annoying. Maybe you're a little bit more sweaty or it's a little bit harder to breathe. But at the end of the day, they all seem really happy to, you know, comply with whatever they're told to do. As long as it means that they can actually get out there and play. Because, you know, there's plenty of seniors, plenty of coaches that miss this stuff and want a chance to do it and want to do their part to keep it going as well.
I guess every single time we add a piece of equipment to some sport or other, like, we kind of go through the same thing. Like in baseball when you had to start wearing helmets, or in hockey or football when, you know, protective equipment became more commonplace, mm-hmm. and then it became required. Like, there's that period of getting used to it, and then eventually you do get used to it and everything's fine. And I guess it's hopefully temporary with this at least, but I guess it's kind of that same kind of getting used to with the mask as everything else, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the interesting thing is, this is something that Q Tucker, the commissioner, noted in a news conference last week. You know, they knew that they were starting the season when they did it last week. They knew that was probably going to come at a time where cases were going to surge, because, you know, that's something that a lot of experts have predicted, kind of like a early winter weather, Thanksgiving time frame surge in cases. So I think it's definitely something that didn't catch them by surprise. They kind of hinted at the possibility of a mask mandate about a week before they put it in, because a lot of individual schools and school districts, they were already requiring them. And in that situation, you know, whoever the home team or home school school district is. If they say you have to wear a mask and you're the visiting team, you have to wear a mask.
Right.
So I think it was kind of just like a blanket protection that they put together, and it might have been a little bit even harder to manage if it was kind of individual places saying, hey, I know you don't have to wear a mask in volleyball here in the state, but here at our school, like, you have to. I think it was kind of a preventative measure. And
yeah,
they mentioned that was they want to finish the season. They want to start the season and finish it, not just start it. So they kind of saw this as a realistic step to take to try their best to make that happen.
Speaking with Chapel Fowler again, ChathamNewsRecord.com for more reporting from Chapel and the rest of the great staff at the Chatham News and Record. Talking about cross country and volleyball right now, because that's officially getting underway. Of course, all of the other sports are still waiting. What's the latest on high school basketball? That season hasn't started yet, and it might be pushed back further.
Yeah, that is going to be an interesting thing over the next few weeks that I am definitely looking forward to keeping up with. Right now, we are supposed to start official practices on December 7th, and games are supposed to start in early January. But, you know, with the indoor mask mandate, that begs a lot of questions. You know, how the heck are you going to scrimmage 5-on-5? And that was something that Q Tucker kind of touched on. So, you know, right now as we speak, no basketball team in the athletic association is allowed under rules to scrimmage, because right now they're in their off season. They don't start their official practices till early December, as I mentioned. So right now they are limited to no contact drills, you know, no 2-on-2, no 3-on-3, no 5-on-5, purely individual or small group passing, shooting drills and stuff like that. So that was something that Tucker really influenced in her news conference. Cause you know, the second that mask mandate came out, the main thing you saw on Twitter was what I just mentioned earlier. Like, how the heck am I supposed to play basketball 5-on-5 with masks on? Like, this is so bad for kids. Like, what is our association doing? So she kind of pumped the brakes on that, which I appreciated, and made it clear that as of right now, that there's no plans to do a mask mandate for basketball games, just because that's not something they're tackling yet. But I mean, right now, the Department of Health and Human Services has basketball as a red sport, high contact, dangerous. They don't recommend it. So these next few weeks are going to be really big. You know, something's got to give. Either the Department of Health and Human Services is going to collaborate with the Athletic Association to find some type of exceptions for basketball. Or, I mean, Tucker didn't rule this out. She said the season may be pushed back to some degree. And that kind of fits into how, you know, the only reason football is in February is because, you know, the Athletic Association ultimately answers to the State Department of Health and Human Services, and they are trying to choose a date that gives them the most realistic chance to actually put on that season for that high-risk sport without too many delays. So I personally would not be surprised if basketball season was pushed back a little bit because of all this stuff going on, but a ton of moving parts, like I mentioned, lots to keep up with.
Speaking with Chapel Fowler again, Chatham News and Record. What else are you following in the sports world?
Yeah, we'll mention that just on my other colleagues' beat. Ton of election stuff on our website right now. That's worth keeping up with. They've done a great job. But me personally, I've found a few interesting feature stories kind of over the last few weeks as I transition into game coverage now. But Chatham County has a App State linebacker, Brendan Harrington, who's playing really well for a team that had a tough loss to Coastal Carolina this weekend. I talked to a Governor's Club resident who's 81, and although he hates to admit it, is really, really good at softball. He's won dozens of state and local and regional championships, Joe Glasson, so that was a fun story. And the mayor of Siler City, John Grimes, he unfortunately passed away last month, but I was able to kind of dig into his athletic past, which a really successful stint at Davie County High School. And then he went to Wake Forest and actually played with Brian Piccolo, who became one of his best friends. Brian, as I'm sure a lot of listeners probably know, if you're of a certain age, he joined the Chicago Bears out of college, where he was a Heisman Trophy, like, runner-up. He was really good. And he died at age 26 of cancer. But he became really good friends with Gale Sayers, the star Bears running back, in the movie Brian's song is kind of based on their friendship, their story, in a time where the NFL was definitely not incredibly friendly to black players. And kind of those two had that friendship, Sayers being black, Piccolo being white, and then kind of the tragic aspect of his death. But yeah, John Grimes was one of his best buddies. So that was another interesting thing to dig into. And that's all on our website. Of course, that's not stuff that's coming up. That's stuff that has happened story-wise. But yeah, lots of stories to tackle. Always a good thing for a journalist.
You're going to miss being able to spend all that time on the feature stories when you're back covering just regular games?
That is a great question. I think it's definitely going to be a balance. I like having stuff on the schedule that I can, you know, look forward to. And the deadline rush definitely kicks in after you cover a game, especially late at night. There's nothing that replicates that, you know, wanting to get something up quick that tells the story well. But yeah, I'm sure I'll miss the features to some degree, but I'm going to try my best to keep a steady stream of guests coming in. No promises, but we'll see what we can do.
Sounds good. I covered Carolina basketball for a hot second back in like 2011 and 2012, and one of the last games that I ever covered was the Duke Carolina, the Austin Rivers game at the Smith Center, where he hits the shot at the very end. And I had this great write-up all written up of Carolina narrowly defeating Duke that I literally just had to highlight and delete as soon as he hit the shot and start all over again. It was great.
That is every sports writer's nightmare, and I have been too often. Nights like that, you don't forget. I'm sure that was a late one, too.
Yeah. Well, again, check out Chapel Fowler's stuff on ChathamNewsRecord.com. A whole lot of great reporting from Chatham County there as well. Chapel, thank you so much for being with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Aaron. I'm really appreciative of the opportunity, as always.